everyone. This is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas. I'm the co-founder and managing director of iFirst International. We are an organization that professionalizes the board and management of the NGO and social enterprise and foundations, both all over the world and elsewhere. And we have today in our program Patricia Nunes, someone who is quite notable in the Malaysian sector, especially in the International Association of Facilitators. So, welcome on board, Pat.
Thank you, Sudhir. Good morning.
So, today we're going to be talking something about very rather interesting, and that's about your association with the IAF, or the International Association of Facilitators. Before we start with that, maybe let's hear a little bit from you about yourself and your life in this area.
Okay. Well, my career has been quite spotted, actually. You know, four major changes. After I graduated, I did about 4 years working with the UNHCR Vietnamese Boat People program in Malaysia. That was with the and I did some field work there as a social care coordinator. And from there, I moved to a church-based NGO for 8 years. Oddly enough, intending at that time to become a religious. But it didn't work out. The life didn't work out for me. It came out and landed in a bank as a training officer in the late 80s. And I was there from 89 to 94. Where I basically had to change my very welfare-oriented, person-based training into something more corporate. Of course, being in a bank, it was quite helpful because all those conversion training was available. And after 4 years in the bank, I moved to head the training department in Subang Jaya Medical Center, which was then the premier medical center, private medical center in Malaysia. But all the while, I kind of realized that I would not stay on in the corporate world. I was happy to be earning a living, a good living, but not quite happy to work with the structures and the politics within the corporate world. So I was looking for a way out, and in 2000, a friend of mine asked me whether I would consider going into business with her. She was doing student agency work at that time, and it seemed a good way out. During that period, the few years of that period, I had completed my MBA, and I was thinking it's time to move. So I moved out, but within 2 months of my moving out, I moved out in August 2001, 9/11 happened. And that kind of threw all the plans into the bucket because not many students were leaving Malaysia to go anywhere. And then I realized, okay, it's either I go back, you know, tail between my legs and ask for my job back, which I could have done, or make it out independently. And I decided that I would do that. I would make it out independently, you know. And because I felt that I wouldn't be happy if I had gone back. It wasn't something that I found fulfilling. So I started a small boutique, as they say, boutique training company. And I did customer service skills training, leadership, management, you name it, I did it. And in the course of that, I met individuals from the IAF. In my own need to upgrade my skills, I met Anne and John Epps, who were actually founder members of the IAF, who were then resident in Malaysia. And they used to do bi-monthly, once in 2 months, a workshop that would introduce facilitation skills to HR professionals, leaders, whoever wanted to come. It was their way of giving back. And so I saw what facilitation could do. And I saw it also linked to my earlier days in community work as a volunteer because the same skill sets, but now they had been labeled. And you know, when they say when you can name something, you can tame it and you can then use it. Yeah, it wasn't a accidental learning. It was, you know, so that was my attraction to the IAF, and I moved from there, you know, to get to know the organization better.
And so that's how really things have started and
yeah.
moved on. And so, when was IAF chapter started in Malaysia?
Okay, the chapter started in 2013, but Anne and John Epps had been in Malaysia from the 80s, and the gatherings had started from as early as 89, and they had run Asia conferences, or rather at that time, yeah, Asia conferences, but it was only done in Malaysia and invited people from Asia. And that went on until the late middle 90s. That means every year it was held in Malaysia. There were, I think, 10 conferences that were held in Malaysia before the conference moved, this yearly Asia regional conference. And I was involved in the planning, not so much in the planning, in the, how do you get it? In the implementation of the conference, you know, during the conference days, I was one of those very busy volunteers setting up rooms and buddying the speakers and doing things like that.
And what were the challenges that you had at that time?
Well, when you are a volunteer in a organization that you don't know too much about, you know, you hold people in high esteem. They are the leaders, but you are a volunteer. You come in by project. You don't really get a sense of why certain things are done in a certain way. You may appreciate that they are done in that way, but you don't know why. And so when it came to around 2010, when we knew that Anne and John Epps would leave, they were planning to leave and return to the States because they are already... John was already in his 70s. We thought that perhaps we should set up some IAF body here so that we could continue the work. There was an informal group, but the informal group was a business entity, a partnership, and they were not keen on doing an IAF chapter. And the IAF at that time, internationally also, did not have a clear policy about what a chapter should be. You know, they had people who were groups that were associates, and then there were countries that were forming chapters. So the IAF had to clarify its own framework.
These are the early days.
Yes, very early days. And in 2011 or 2012, they came out with a chapter document, what are the requirements of forming a chapter and the structure, reporting and all that. And so in 2013, it became possible for us to form a chapter. But before we could form the chapter, a Malaysian Association of Facilitators was set up in 2009. Because we felt there was a need. We wanted to have decision-making abilities for Malaysian facilitators.
So that was a time when you're saying that already it became, the awareness already grew.
Yes.
And facilitation was seen to be...
Yes, yes.
There. So hence why organizations are setting up. So
yeah.
Maybe you just like share. So you had these challenges and it was already a good time. Did you see any gratification coming your way as time was going along up to now?
Yeah, yes and no, because I think in the early stages, that's around 2009, the discussion to have a Malaysian Association of Facilitators had very conflicting views, you know. The business entity, FNS, they felt no need to have this Malaysian Facilitation Society, Association, because they could be the face of Malaysian facilitators. Yet, it was a close partnership that was not allowing anyone else to get in. So, and that means we had to go by the schedule that they decided. Yeah. So a few of us, there were about four or five of us who were IAF members, who wanted to have the ability to plan a conference or do a workshop or train other people in facilitation on a schedule that we could determine, self-determine. And so we thought, let's just start the association, because the IEF at that time at 2009 didn't have a clear picture of a chapter. So we thought we'll have the association and then become affiliates of the IEF.
I see. You know? So since then you've been actually having year after year conferences?
Well, we started in 2009. We had three conferences while I was with that group. In 2010, I think, we had a country conference, and then 2012, another country conference, and in 2015, we had a country conference joint with the IEF. Because by then, in 2013, we had started our chapter.
Right.
Yeah. So there was sort of a
convergence.
Yeah, like an amoeba, you know, it came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something was created.
Yes, it? Yes.
And so yeah. I understand this year you're having something as well.
Yes, yes. This year in September, the Asian, the 22nd IAF Asian Conference is coming back to Malaysia, because the last conference that we held in Malaysia was 2008, and that was in Kuching, you know. And then in 2007, it was in Singapore. 2008, it went to Kuching, and that was the last conference. And in fact, that was where I got my CPF. And then after that, Malaysians said, we had enough of this conference. Now we have enough people in Asia who can host conference. Let it go around the Asian region. So it went around. And we were actually offered again to do the conference in 2017. You see, because you are paced by the global
right.
structure, yeah.
The point I'm trying to get now is that you're now having, basically the event is coming home, like,
yeah.
in a way, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can just, for the sake of our time, maybe you can just explain, if you were going to reset, if you were going to do it all over again, what would you, you know, share with our listeners in terms of how would things happen differently? Would there be any difference to where the IAF in Malaysia would be?
It's
one or two key points.
Yeah, perhaps maybe to get someone on the global team really connected to what you were trying to do so that they could be a support base. But at the time when we did, there was no one that we could,
okay.
you know, because of the distance. It was not so easy as it is now.
Today, if it's someone else,
yeah.
it would be much easier.
Yeah, it'd be much easier because we're connected.
Right.
You could have the webinar, the Skype conversation.
Also,
yes,
yeah.
yes. It makes a lot of difference because from then to now, the structure of the global IAF has become far more transparent because it is so open. And for the last 2 or 3 years, even their elections and their board meetings are held on Adobe Connect. Anyone, any member can go in and listen and give opinions. So that is ideally what, I mean, it's as good as having, being seated in the room.
So if I understand it correctly, you're saying that today IAF is very professionally run,
yeah.
managed in,
yeah.
in a manner that everyone can
find. Yeah, I don't think it was different before, but the difference was that, I mean, they did the same thing before, but it was done in a space, in a time that was not accessible to the
right.
global membership,
right.
right? So it became very distinctly American-European,
sure.
you know, because that was the time zone that they were working in. Yeah, and when they came for the Asian conferences,
yeah.
We realized that, okay, these are the board members.
So in terms
yeah.
of Malaysian IAF, yeah, the things are moving forward?
I would say, yeah, 2019 is a good year. You see, generally also in the tradition, wherever you have the Asian conference, membership will go up in that country, mainly because people want to take advantage of the member conference fee and also the interest level, because if the conference is going to be held, as what we are doing now, we have a few events that publicize the IAF so that by the time the conference is held in September, interest level has peaked, and you will get people attending the conference. Having said that, though, most Asian conferences The locals only make up about 30% of
sure.
the 30 to 40% if you're lucky, depending on the country. You know, like in India, they'll be a big component. In Japan, they were a big component. But when they are held in countries like Malaysia, Singapore, as they have been, we see three quarters
coming people, from outside.
Yeah, Asia and outside Asia.
Well, that's very interesting and a very insightful fact. And I'd like to thank you for sharing those insights with regard to IF and also your experience and how things have taken over there. Over the time that it's been, what, 20 years now? Something
yeah,
like
it's hard to think that it's
so fast.
20 years.
So, thanks again, Pat. Thanks very much for your time. This is Dr. Sudhir Mohandas signing off. Those interested in listening to this podcast, please visit www.ifirstinternational.com or anchor/FM. Thank you very much. Bye.